Ryan Bell is administrator of the State Ethics Commission. He'd like the job permanently, but the Senate Republican leader has predicted that he won't be confirmed. David Halbrooks is the Ethics Commission chair and is fighting for Bell's confirmation. Thanks to both of you for joining us in the Wisconsin Eye studio to talk about this. But this programming note, Wisconsin Eye has invited members of the Senate Republican caucus to tape interviews on Mr. Bell's qualifications. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Brian and the commission would like you to have a confirmation hearing. So if you had that hearing, give us the short version of what you would tell senators in terms of your qualifications, please.
Sure. So I believe I'm uniquely qualified based on both my education and experiences in both state and in military service to lead this agency moving forward. My degree is from a consistently top 10 university, an advanced degree in public management and public policy that I believe qualify me very well to move this agency forward, to learn from the past agencies, and to continue to improve the agency and serve the state.
David, in your letter to members of the Wisconsin State Senate on January 27th, you said this: when you created the new Ethics Commission, I'm sorry, the legislature created it, but in terms of forging its mission, you said, "We believe we had a solemn duty to cast off the vestiges of the GAB, sentence one. We were committed to eliminating the errors that occurred in the creation and administration of the GAB, sentence two. Our duty was to make sure that what had happened under the GAB would never happen again." What did the GAB do and get wrong?
That when the GAB was created, two things occurred that I believe led to in this case, the Republican caucus concerns. The GAB gave independent investigative authority to the staff, and it also moved campaign finance regulation into the confidentiality section where ethics and lobbying had been. So what happened was you now had a group of people who could start an investigation who were not appointed or elected by anybody, and everything was done in secret. And so when I was appointed to the Ethics Commission before the commission came into existence, I was an ex officio member of the GAB. And at the very first meeting, we have a regular open session, then we go into closed session, and I was aghast at what was happening in closed session, voting, discussion on complaints that the targets didn't even know about, and voting, you know, having motions that weren't reported out. So it was something for me that those two issues created an awful lot of problems. And so, you know, in what we are doing, we worked very hard to make sure that we would not, when we were going through the applications for administrator, anybody with any partisan background didn't even make it through the first cut. We were, what I was talking about in that statement is, we did not want to have any indication that anything partisan was going on in any way. And so we worked very hard to do that, and the commission is evenly split, and we work by consensus. If we don't have agreement on something, we usually back off and take another run at it later.
Three R's and three D's on the commission.
Yes.
Why were all of you so impressed with Brian?
We one of the documents that we released yesterday was Brian's biography.
Yes,
I read. And his background was, you know, very impressive to all of us, both when he sat down and said, "I was raised for a life in public service," and I think he is, you know, that has been the example that he has led by. And also, his military background, as he explained what he did, we thought, well, here's somebody who's not going to be fazed too much by, you know, campaign finance law as opposed to, you know, clearing roadside bombs. And but it was also, we had a perspective of somebody who had left the GAB. We now made public his reasons for leaving, and for the six of us, it was a person who would come in and help eliminate the problems. And what we found, what we've had is, in the year and a half, is the programs have been put in place to make sure that there would, you know, there couldn't be any leaks anymore. None of those things occurred. We have security. We have, you know, evaluations of staff. But also, we now think we were very, very lucky to find Brian because of the presentations that he puts together, every single meeting I walk out and I say, how does he do it? And the staff is well prepared. He has staff meetings every week. We get the agendas and the results of those meetings. Everything that we could ask as a commission, we have found in Brian Bell.
Brian, thanks for your patience. Mm-hmm. When did you first get a hint that Senate Republicans had a problem with your qualifications and your ability to continue as administrator?
Well, one of the first things I did as administrator at the direction of the commission is we wanted to set a new tone that rather than as the previous boards had kind of walled themselves off from public officials as viewing themselves as a referee, mm-hmm. we took a different approach of being more open and engaging and proactive. So I met with every state senator. I've now met with almost 70 of the members of the assembly, and we've had very candid discussions about the past agencies and the current agencies and what their concerns were. And some of the concerns I heard that is we want to make sure that whether it was the GAB or the previous boards, we don't want to see a repeat of the same mistakes and the same issues. And we've had a lot of detailed discussions about how we've worked to put processes in place that ensure that staff remain objective. And that's something very different how we've operated is the staff simply conduct audits and present information to the commission, and it is the commission that makes the decision. Staff do not recommend one way or the other. They just lay out what the options are provided in statute and what precedent has been so that we're treating people consistently.
Having gone through your resume, help me with the dates. You worked with GAB from 2012 to 2015?
Correct.
Do I have that correct?
Correct.
Okay. You also say, now let's get into the nitty-gritty, quote, I was not involved in any investigation conducted by the GAB.
That's correct.
You were not involved in any way with the John Doe 2?
I was not involved at all with the
Attorney General caused John Doe 3?
I was not.
In the course of working in that culture, did you overhear comments about subpoenas going out and briefings being held? Did you even overhear comments about the progress on John Doe 3?
No, I was aware that there was an investigation. I probably learned a lot more from the press than I did from working at the GAB.
When you met with legislators, did any of them say, because of your tenure at the GAB 2012 through 2015, when they believe the GAB and the special prosecutors unfairly targeted Governor Walker, his supporters, Republican legislators, and strategists, did you call, your letter indicates that the partisan nature of the GAB at that time you found offensive and unprofessional, correct?
Correct.
Did you raise your hand at any time to say, can we fix this partisan and unprofessional attitude?
I did at times raise comments and concerns about things that were being said, and to be fair, there were things said about both Republicans and Democrats. That were, I think, critical and not professional of someone who's supposed to be impartial. But I was not in a position of authority to truly implement change.
Okay, let's go to that. What position did you hold that didn't get you involved with the GAB's John Doe probe?
So in 2000...
part of your job description?
Not at all.
Excuse me for interrupting.
So in 2012, when I started with the GAB, my job was basically to collect election statistics from municipalities and counties, and to provide those reports for the public, to the federal government to comply with those reporting requirements, and to assist clerks with that reporting process, essentially, and as well as to handle requests for voter lists by candidates and parties and others. So that was my primary role from 2012 until 2014, when I moved over to the Ethics Division.
When you talk to lawmakers explaining why you'd like to have this job and keep it, mm-hmm. did any of them say, we think you're tainted because of your employment at GAB from 2012 to 2015?
Yes. Yeah, certainly some did raise some concerns. And after we had more discussion about what my actual role was in the GAB and what I had done in my current role as the administrator to move the agency forward and to improve the agency, my perspective on those interactions was that there was an understanding that this was an agency that was very different and was operating very differently than previous boards.
David, let's clear up one thing. When the Department of Justice released that report in December, the Attorney General made a comment like, maybe you shouldn't be engaged in this dialogue because you were a part of John Doe 1. Can you just straighten out any role you had in John Doe 1? Just put it out on the record.
Sure. I was called in as a witness, and obviously at that for a long time I couldn't talk about it. Now emails have come out and showed that I was being interviewed because of a client. I didn't need immunity. Immunity wasn't the issue. It was just a matter of, they said, well, this is what we'll do. And what happened was, I suddenly went from something I would be able to talk about openly to something I couldn't talk about and had to keep quiet. But now, I said, now that it's out there, but I don't have a reason to recuse myself in my mind. In fact, I think that one of the reasons that I wanted to be on the Ethics Commission was to try to eliminate the conditions that led to the John Doe 1 and John Doe 2. I think that every day, in all of my time on the Ethics Commission, I am trying to make sure that what happened with those raids never happens again. Lives were ruined permanently. Kids were dragged out of their beds, by people with guns and over campaign finance. And so we work very hard, and that is one of the reasons I was so adamant about who we picked as an administrator, so that, and the processes. The staff no longer, the staff can't do anything without coming to the board. And so we now have restored some of the ideas that had occurred in the elections board. But, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know. With regard to the Attorney General, I believe we're on the same side on most of the issues, and we don't really have a dispute with him. And so I want to find the person that leaked as much as he does, I have told people that I don't believe there is a Republican in this state that was more opposed to the GAB and the John Doe law than I was.
Brian, I'm going to put the same question that I put to Mike Haas yesterday. You didn't leak to The Guardian.
No.
Were the materials that were leaked nothing that you had access to?
I don't believe so, no. And we, as the staff that all work for now for the Ethics Commission, were not read into the secrecy order. So we had no way of looking at any of those records to determine what they were to even access them.
Do you think you know who leaked?
I don't know.
You don't?
I don't.
David, you're here as commission chair because you really believe that Brian should be confirmed.
Yes.
What's his problem with Republican senators? And I'm going to ask him the same question.
Their problem seems to be they indicated in the letter that they had lost confidence in Brian. They indicated, and I think publicly, that because of the partisanship of the GAB and because of the leak investigation. So we have tried to make clear Brian's role in the GAB. We have had a little bit of a public hearing that, in our last meeting when we knew we weren't going to be able to have one with the Senate. But also, we are trying to find, we want to get the same results as anybody else. So I just don't know I haven't heard a single reason other than those three ideas. And if they would say, here's what he did that caused us a problem, we would then have something we could work with. But we just hear lost confidence, partisanship, and the leak investigation. And again, the staff was directed by the commission with regard to the leak investigation. We were the ones that said we want to ask for a lawyer. We told them, what to do when they came to us, and so there was no independent authority of the staff members to deal with anything with the leak investigation. We were shocked when they were told us that they were being asked to be interviewed, because we didn't think they hadn't had anything to do with anything, and I think the interviews proved that, because there was nothing in the report. I mean, Brian Bell doesn't come up in the report except a couple of times.
And I checked yesterday, but the only mention of you in the report is what, Brian?
I don't recall it specifically. I think there's some discussion about being interviewed and turning over records.
But they do not portray you as being actively involved and offering a strategy in the investigation.
Correct.
Going back to your statement in the letter to elected officials, I was not involved in any investigation conducted by GAB. That speaks for itself.
Correct.
So, having talked to more than 100 legislators, one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, mm-hmm. what do you think is your problem with Republican senators?
I think many of them have had a very understandable reaction when they read the DOJ report of outrage and anger. And I think a natural reaction is to say we need to clean house, and anyone with any taint of a previous agency needs to be removed. So I understand their reaction. To the contrary, what I've talked with them about and explained is that I was uniquely qualified because I knew how the agency had operated, so I knew on day one I had ideas of things that needed to be addressed and fixed, and we worked on those.
Question for both of you. What did you learn first, Brian, from the DOJ report that you hadn't already known?
Quite a bit, particularly the scope and scale of records that were seized.
The 1.5 million emails?
Correct.
And the cell phone records?
Correct.
And the bank records?
Correct.
You had no knowledge of that?
I did not know. I had no confirmation of what they had.
Okay. But I interrupted you, so go ahead with your reaction to the DOJ report.
So not only the size and scope of the investigation, but that it was GAB staff, including regular employees and attorneys, conducting digital forensics with no qualification to do so. I think the naming of names and the scope of the extent of who they were looking at was shocking to me as well.
The Attorney General's conclusion was that this was an investigation that unfairly targeted the governor, the governor's supporters, GOP strategists, mm-hmm. and groups and organizations supporting the governor. Is that a fair characterization?
I don't have enough information of the investigation to comment on what their motives were or what they were doing. The one thing I'd say is that when I looked at that report, what kept reoccurring in my mind is, thank God this can't happen under the Ethics Commission. We have both the new laws that we operate under and the direction that the commission has given staff would prevent anything like this from ever occurring again.
David, your reaction when you read the DOJ report, sir?
There was a lot of information we didn't know, and I think it turned out we had an employee that was at the GAB and at Ethics Commission who had participated in the John Doe and also turned out to have documents that were required to be turned over a couple of years in her desk. And she has been gone now for quite a while, but I do think that that's the kind of reaction I think the commission would have asked for, employment discipline as a result of that, because of that's where we would have been in concert with the Senate Republicans, because none of us knew that. And the when you read the report and she was told to print out the documents so they could be scanned, her answer was she didn't remember. And so I understand from a prosecution standpoint, but from an HR standpoint, we would have had a different standard, and I'm not sure she would still be there. If she hadn't have found it and she was still working there when the search warrant was conducted, the DOJ might have found it. But again, I'm concerned about the emails where it says, print these out so they can be scanned. I'm not certain why something that's digital needs to be printed out so it can be scanned. So I've never been persuaded that we're actually looking for a hard drive. We may be looking for printed documents.
No, you're a Democrat, but do you agree with the Attorney General's conclusion that John Doe 2 and what he labeled John Doe 3 unfairly targeted the governor and his supporters and Republican legislators?
Well, I don't know. Does the report, I don't know if that, I think that, the Wisconsin Supreme Court case answered the question.
Yes.
And I think that, that clarified quite a bit. I'm not certain that, you know, that there's agreement on that. And, you know, obviously if that went to the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, and they'd taken the case, you know, it might be a different result. But so I don't know, you know, in terms of that, what I do agree with is that, you know, we have a very big problem. We still need, and we are anxious to work with the Attorney General to find the leak and have offered, you know, assistance, because the problem is that the Attorney General, we have two sets of documents in the commission office, the John Doe documents, which none of us can look at, and then all of the other confidential documents that the Attorney General can't look at without a court order. And so we would like to provide assistance to go through some of those other things so that they don't have to go. I don't think they're going to get a court order to look at everything. So we could provide them assistance, and here's what you have to look at. And
Well, as a veteran attorney and who's served on the old elections board, you've been around state government a while. Did you find it to be a gross invasion of people's privacy when 150 emails of a state senator and her daughter was caught up in this dragnet?
There were an awful lot of emails caught up in the dragnet that shouldn't have been gathered. I started out thinking that was John Doe 1 result, and then I wasn't sure, and now I'm back to thinking it was John Doe 1, and you know why that stuff was sent to Madison, I'm not quite sure. But I suspect that the Senator Vukmir's emails are just a tiny bit of that invasion of privacy. I think that they probably have a lot of personal emails that haven't been exposed yet. Okay. And so I'm very concerned about that. And again, I am on the Ethics Commission to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Brian, I want to ask you about some details in your letter to Capitol officials. Quoting from it, incredibly, someone as transparently partisan as Shane Falk was appointed as staff counsel to the GAB and allowed to continue to serve in that role. He displayed open partisanship, and blatant insubordination. Let's talk about the partisanship.
Sure.
Was he partisan against Governor Walker and other Republicans, or was he an equal opportunity partisan, trashing and dissing both parties?
Shane didn't have, from my experience, didn't have much of a filter, and he would make what I think were unprofessional comments about members of both parties. But I think it certainly was apparent which party he held in less regard.
Did his comments justify the Attorney General's statement that the GAB, at least its chief counsel, staff counsel, was biased towards Governor Walker and his supporters and other GOP strategists?
I don't know that that's my place to comment on. What I've tried to show is that I'm not, I don't think it's my role as the administrator of the Ethics Commission to defend previous boards or to vilify them. But I would be remiss if I didn't study their history and learn from past mistakes and work as much as I can to prevent them.
Fair to say that Mr. Shane's comments, which you found intemperate and unprofessional, were more critical of Governor Walker and members of the Republican Party than Democrats?
I'd say that's a fair assessment, yes.
Okay. Where do we go now? There's two options for the Senate on next Tuesday. They can vote to confirm you or not to confirm you. Mm-hmm. But what if they don't hold a vote on you or Mr. Haas? Will that allow you to continue in an interim or an acting position? And does this uncertainty over your future, will that hinder your ability to be administrator? And then the same question for you, Dave.
Well, my understanding is if there's not a vote for confirmation, that I would continue as the interim administrator.
Does that interim tag bother you?
Not at all. You know, when I was appointed in 2016, I knew that was for a term of up to 4 years. That has to end in an odd year. So that means whether or not I'm confirmed, that first term will end in 2019, at which time, you know, the commission could choose to reappoint me or to appoint someone else. But I also every day serve at the pleasure of this commission. At any time, they could decide to remove me from this position. So whether you call me interim or not, or some people call me administrator, some people call me director, I think the administrator title is very appropriate in what I do and how I operate the agency. it's really the commission that is that gives that direction, and I serve at their pleasure as well. So,
Dave, the two options: if there's no vote Tuesday, do you continue to have the full faith and confidence in Brian, even though he's acting interim, whatever you want to call it?
Yes, and we took a vote at the last meeting, and it was a unanimous that we supported him, a vote of confidence. The previous meeting, we released the results of his evaluation, where we were proud to say that he exceeded our expectations. I think the vote should be put off at this point, given that we have a senator-elect who will not be able to be seated by that point in time.
That's true.
And I think that, you know, given some of the arguments we've heard over the past couple of years, we should wait until our new senator takes office, and ideally they would vote to confirm Brian on Tuesday. But if they want to wait and continue talking to us, if they want to wait and have us work together with us to find who the leak was and who the real problem people were, then we are anxious to do any of those things.
If the Senate votes not to confirm Brian, is he out of a job? You're an attorney, and you've looked at the law that created the Ethics Commission.
Our commission has taken the position that, you know, the Senate has the duty to advise and consent, and so one of the reasons we are working so hard to get a yes vote is because we do think that would create a vacancy in the position. What would happen after that, I'm not sure. I think it's creating a lot of problems for a really non-issue. There's no reason to terminate Brian Bell, and so if this is something that should be put to bed and he should be confirmed. But if he isn't confirmed, you know, I believe there will be a unanimous result from the commission one way or another going forward of how to proceed. If we cannot come up with an administrator, firing the elections commissioner and the election administrator and the ethics administrator right before an election, I don't know who's going to come in and want to take these jobs. Certainly, and if we don't appoint, then the Senate gets to appoint, and then, you know, as Brian said, we have the ability to get rid of that person. So I don't know that this is going to be an attractive job to anybody.
Is it possible that if the Senate votes and not confirm, we're on the verge of a lawsuit here? Would you welcome a lawsuit to clarify that, Dave, as an attorney?
We haven't considered any legal options at this point. We're not aware of any. Okay. None have been presented to us. Some of the outside groups and the election commission, in our wildest dreams, we didn't believe we'd have an issue with Brian being confirmed. And so, whereas I think the elections commission has had a long time to consider how they would deal with it, given the public comments at the time, but we have a war hero who's come in and fixed all the problems that had occurred at the GAB, and we think he should be confirmed.
We're almost out of time, so just a couple more questions. One of them is this: why is the Ethics Commission, Mr. Chair, hired an investigator to investigate who and why? Mr. Fiedler.
If there's an investigation going on, we can't comment on it.
But Senator Nass has responded to the commission, alluding to being contacted by an investigator hired by the Ethics Commission. So, I mean, can't you shed some light on that?
No.
You can't?
No.
Meanwhile, but how many taxpayers' dollars are being spent on the special investigator?
Well, I haven't seen the invoices yet. We have certain stages where they have to report back to us that they can't proceed. I think that I expect some very positive results from that. I think there was a terrible misunderstanding with the senators about those contacts they're referring to. And so, everything we are doing is trying to find a way to get them to vote to confirm Brian Bell. And so, if I had questions for the senators, it's like, specifically, what did Brian do that caused, you know, this dust up right now? So I would hope that, our public hearing we did, and I hope that any results that we would release before the vote you know, if there's anything additional we can release, would help to convince the senators that we made a very good choice.
Just, Brian, just a straight-on question. Do you want a special investigation to clear your name? Do you believe you've been slandered?
I don't know if I would use the word slander.
Thank you.
I do believe that there have been allegations publicly made about my conduct that are inaccurate. And I did make a public request for an investigation that's allowed under statute to address that and to produce findings that I hope would dispute that.
And the mission, the heart of that, what you asked for is what, in a sentence?
I have nothing to hide, and I have no reason to worry.
Okay. Let's assume that you continue as administrator. Give us, quickly, because we're almost out of time, your agency's goals for the next 2-3 years, just the top 2 and 3. Your vision for the future of the Ethics Commission.
Well, so the first part, I think the first challenge we had, which we've addressed in the first 18 months, was begin to start moving the agency in a very different direction. One of the things that really guides that is the commission's new mission statement that is all based on statute and focuses on protecting the rights of individuals. I think we've brought the agency into the 20th century, and we're going to continue to move it towards the 21st to be more efficient, to be more effective. And we've started to see that. We've increased the volume of audits we've conducted. We're seeing better compliance with reporting requirements. We've done more outreach and education. Overall, our goal is a more open, transparent, and effective government that we're tasked with supporting.
And then, David, you believe this is the gentleman to carry out that mission?
He is the only gentleman to carry out the mission.
And if he is dismissed by the Senate, no one will want that job because of the underlying political concerns?
I don't know who would. I don't understand the problem, because I understood getting rid of the GAB, but what has been created is the best iteration of a regulatory agency that I'm the only person that's been on all three boards, the election board, the GAB, and the Ethics Commission. And I can tell you what we have now works, and it is the best system that they've come up with. And dismissing a person for what sounds like partisan reasons is the opposite of the reason the Ethics Commission was created, and I hope that they will give us a chance to keep doing what we do.
Thank you. We'll have to leave it there. David Halbrooks is the chairman of the State Ethics Commission. Brian Bell is the administrator of the commission. He'd like the job permanently. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.